Welcome to Smart Money Management, presented by Altifer Bergen & Company in Warsaw. Altifer Bergen is dedicated to helping business owners, retirees, and professionals with comprehensive financial planning services, including 401k and retirement plan transition assistance, customized portfolio design, and asset management for individual investors and retirees. Alan Altifer is a Warsaw Community High School graduate with a degree in economics from Ball State University. He's president of the Joe's Kids Pediatric Rehabilitation Center Advisory Board, chairman of the Salvation Army Board, and a former president of the Warsaw Rotary Club. Mike Bergen is also a WCHS grad with a degree in economics from Indiana University. He currently serves on the boards of Cardinal Services and Kosciuszko Home Care and Hospice. Together, they were the catalyst for the creation of the Kosciuszko County Riley Kids Fund. The opinions voiced on this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
I'm Roger Grossman, along with Alan Altifer of Altifer Bergen & Company. The website is altiferbergen.com. Hello, Alan. How are you? Happy Christmas and Merry New Year. I did it backwards on purpose. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
Good. How's your shopping going?
It's going okay. I've, like we did on the show a couple weeks ago, I put my list together and, you know, working on trying to get everything taken care of. I would say I'm probably 80%, 90% done. I'm almost done.
Nice.
But that is completely different from the way I grew up and the way that I've been most of my life.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
I grew up, my dad used to be tradition when I was in, you know, when I was young growing up here in Warsaw, my dad would take me out Christmas Eve shopping and would buy for my mom and everything the day before Christmas. And so so I pretty much spent my whole life doing that to my family. And my wife, you know, just thought it was crazy that I would wait till the last day. But I have turned a new leaf, and I now do it ahead of time.
Acts of valor. That's what that's called. That's courage right there. Courage in the real world.
Well, I don't know what it was. There's something about shopping on the day before Christmas. Just, I don't know what it is. I just, to me, it was something I grew up and my dad used to take me, and I remember it to this day.
And I know the morning shows this week talked about the outrageous percentage of spouses who didn't know what to buy for their spouses.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm like, you should have some sort of clue. And the other question that came up is it okay to like buy like a microwave?
Yes.
Well, if it's on your wife's list,
yes.
How do you know what's on your wife's list? It's like, she's right there. Ask her.
Yeah, I tell you.
How hard is this to know?
I heard that this week that, you know, deciding if your wife asks for a vacuum and you get it for Christmas, is that okay?
Yes, of course it is.
And coming from the person the second year we were married, I bought my wife a NordaTrack. So think about it. I've only been married a year. And I bought my wife a NordaTrack. So I'm basically saying you need to work out.
Oh.
That was a bad gift. That was really, really bad.
You're like the husband in the Peloton commercial.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I think that if your spouse asks for something, and even if it's something like a drill for a husband or a vacuum or whatever, something with, you're not supposed to buy your spouse something with a cord attached to the wall. You know, that's just what they say. But if your spouse asks you to do that, I think it's perfectly fair game.
Seems very fair.
But I still would buy something a little else.
Oh,
you get what I mean.
Yes.
So it's fine to buy them exactly what they want. If this is what they want, buy it for them. But you still better at least something small. You better get him something that says, I was thinking of you.
At the risk of sounding like I'm sitting on the wrong side of the desk here, that's called equity. Building equity.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You are stacking up credits
because
the market could change, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's, I when I heard that this week and they were talking about if your spouse asks for something, you buy it for them.
Of course you do.
But you do have to go the extra step and get them at least something, a little something else that said you thought of them other than just what was on the list. That's my, that would be me.
Yes. And also you need to buy something that your kids can give so you can hide behind that. Well, I helped him do that.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think the thing at my house is my family, my wife and my two daughters, I never put a list together. I'm just an anti-list person. I just don't. I will not tell them what I want. And they have asked me 100 times at this point during this Christmas season. They have asked me 100 times of what I want, and I will never tell them because I just it takes all the joy out of it. I want to when I get under the tree or they bring, you know, when I open a present, I don't want to know what it is. Yeah. I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
I want that. Remember when you came out Christmas morning when you and I were in elementary school and the tree was there and all those presents were wrapped? I mean, how excited were you to figure out what was under there?
Incredibly
excited. But if you know that these are the three things that I asked for and this is exactly what I'm going to get, I could have just bought it myself.
So. Yeah. Rules for the retirement road today. That's a transition.
Are we done? Are we done talking about Christmas?
We probably should be.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about it in a couple weeks, though. We'll have our traditional Christmas show.
Rules for the retirement road today.
Yeah, I wanted to do a show today with some different items that help everybody retire. And again, you know, on the promo that you and I did this week earlier, when we did the promo for the show, I made a joke that, you know, 99% of America wants to retire someday, and that isn't a statistic that has actually been put out there. I made it up.
And the other 1% should want to do that.
Should want to retire. But the point in all of it is most of us all want to retire someday. And so today is about what are the things that you need to put together to actually be ready to retire. And so I put 10 different items together. And the first one I think is the most important rule for the retirement road, and that is paying yourself first. Very cliche. We hear a lot about pay yourself first, but what that really means is paying yourself first is if you're somebody that has a 401k at work, you put your money in your 401k, that money comes out of your paycheck before you get it. So you paid yourself first by putting that money away for later. Okay. Maybe you don't have a 401k at work, but you want to save in an IRA, an individual retirement account. You know, you automatically, as soon as your paycheck hits your bank account, you take money out and you put it in the IRA. The one of the worst things that you can do if you truly want to retire one day, the worst thing you can do when it comes to saving for retirement is to get your paychecks, get them in the bank, pay bills, and then try to save money at the end. Okay. A lot of times it just doesn't work. You need to do it the other way around. You need to save for retirement on the front end of when you get paid. Because if you don't pay yourself first, if you don't put money in your retirement account first, too many times there's not enough money at the end of the month. And so always pay yourself first. And we talk about, you know, different types of shows, and we'll talk about, you know, after the break, we'll talk about, you know, college versus retirement. If you don't save on the front end of your paychecks, if you don't save first for retirement, you're just not going to. And it's so vitally important, in my opinion. Retirement is, it's something where you're going to be retired a long time. You know, if you retire at 65 years old in our office, we're planning on you living till your 90s. So you may be living 30 years past when you retire. That means you've got to save up a lot of money. I mean, you need to build those retirement accounts. And if you don't do it early and often, it's going to be really, really hard to do. But paying yourself first, that's the first rule for the retirement road. The next rule for the retirement road is don't let today's bills sink tomorrow's needs. Now, what I mean by that is all of our expenses grow over time. You know, inflation's been awful the last couple years. All of our expenses grow over time. And thinking of reducing or ceasing the investment for your future, what I mean is your retirement, it's just a really, really bad idea to think to yourself, well, I'm really having a tough time, you know, paying all the bills. I think I'm going to cut my 401k down. Don't do that because you're going to be in retirement a long, long time. You need to find another way to cover those current expenses. It is so vitally important to start to save early when it comes to retirement and let your money compound. I think you and I had this conversation. You and I have been doing this show over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I know about 10 years into this show, one day you came to me and you said, my 401k is never just going to be, there's nothing there. It's never going to be anything. I remember the day you told me, why am I putting money in here?
Well, and the reason why is we needed a new vehicle and the money that we had in that 401k at that moment would have covered that vehicle.
That's right.
Right? So I had an immediate need. And I was like, man, I wish I had that money. And
that's
now,
right.
And now, of course, I'm really glad that I didn't.
So now you can buy three or four vehicles. The point being in all of this is don't let today's bills sink tomorrow's needs. Find another way to cover those expenses. You know, do everything you can to not lower the amount of money that you're putting into your retirement. And the biggest one you eventually, you know, when you're married and you have kids, the biggest one you're going to walk up and run into is how do I pay for my kids' college and how do I save for retirement? And we do a whole show about this, about college. If your kid is going to go to college, you can save for that. Okay. Right. Just like everything. Yep. But those savings dollars are going to fight with the retirement savings dollars that you want to put away. But college, if your child has to go and you don't have enough money, your child can borrow to go there. Now, do I want your child to, you know, borrow money and owe money once they get out of college? No, that's not what I want. But on the other flip side is you can't be 67 years old, go to the bank and say, I'm quitting my job. Will you give me a loan for retirement? I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, it's just, you can't do that. You can't borrow for retirement, but you can borrow for pretty much everything else in your life. And I'm not saying go borrow to pay for college. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if retirement is important to you, you want to make sure that you continue to save money even when your expenses go up. Even when your children are getting ready to go to college, you still need to save as much as you possibly can in that retirement and do everything you can to try to not lower how much money you're putting in those retirement accounts. So don't let today's bills sink tomorrow's needs. The next thing you want to do is put time on your side. Okay, when it comes to saving for retirement, you want to put time on your side. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean accumulating money in your retirement account and then letting it compound. So let me give you an example. Let's say one saver put money away at $2,000 per year for 10 years, and then they let the money compound at 6%. So they put $2,000 per year for 10 years, and they let it grow for 10 years. Okay, they would have $48,341 at the end of the 10th year. $2,000 a year for 10 years they put in, and then 10 more years later, so 20 years total, they'd have $48,000. Okay. You compare that to, you know, investor B who waits 10 years. So they waited because they said, oh, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. I'm going to wait until I get more money. So 10 years later, they start putting $3,000 away for 10 years. And so now the first investor put $24,000 away. The second investor put $36,000 away, and the second investor only had $45,000 after 20 years. So there's a, you know, a roughly a $3,000 difference. The first investor started early. They put less money in, but they ended up with more because that's accumulating it and letting it compound. So very, very important to make sure that, you know, you put that money away as soon as you can, leave it there. And that's what we talked about, you know, earlier, leave it there and let it compound. Next up is, you know, a lot of our younger clients nowadays, I tell them don't count on Social Security. Okay. Now I do, I also do a show during the year that I'm comfortable Social Security is going to be there when you and I, you know, we're going to be 56 this year. You know, I'm comfortable it's going to be there for us. But younger clients, our 20 and 30 year old clients that we're doing planning for, a lot of them, we do planning saying you're not going to plan for Social Security. Current retirees right now, you know, normally about 40% of their retirement comes from Social Security. You know, one thing, if you read your Social Security statement now, the one that you get in the mail, you know, it says that if they don't change anything, if they don't change how Social Security's run, by 2033, you're only going to get about 75 cents on the dollar that you promised. Because there's only enough young people to pay the retired people that are getting Social Security. There's only enough to pay people roughly 75 cents. And that's 10 years from now. When we first started, you know, doing, you know, talking about this, it was 2041. Now it's 2033 is when Social Security, you know, like I said, it's not going to go out. It's not going to go completely away. But if they don't change anything, you're only going to get 75 cents on the dollar. Again, and I think they're going to fix it. I mean, I think there's ways to fix Social Security. It's really not that hard. But getting two political parties to agree to anything nowadays is virtually impossible. When we're doing retirement planning for our younger couples, our 20, 30, early 40-year-olds, we're not planning on any of them having Social Security. We're doing it without it. So just don't count on Social Security. That's another rule to the road. Now, again, I'm not setting an alarm for people that are retired or people that are within 5 or 10 years of getting Social Security. That's not the alarm I'm setting. I'm just saying, younger people, you need to try to do it all by yourself without Social Security.
You're listening to Smart Money Management with Alan Aldifer of Aldifer Bergen & Company. The website is aldiferbergen.com, and the rules of the road are what we're talking about today when it comes to retirement.
Yeah, we've been talking about paying yourself first, making sure you save money at the beginning of your paycheck. We talked about don't let, you know, bills, you know, get in the way of saving for retirement. Don't let you want to pay for your kids' college end your retirement savings. Don't let that happen. And then put time on your side, you know, let, you know, your accounts continue to accumulate and compound. And then we talked about Social Security. You know, 20 and 30-year-olds, you need to plan on not having Social Security. You need to do it all yourself. And so you need to save more money because of that. So, you know, one of the things that at the office that we get a lot of questions is, you know, I want to buy something. Can I borrow from my 401k? And in general, you know, borrowing from your 401k can work because the interest that you pay, you know, the interest that you pay on your 401k loan, you keep it. You get that interest. But one of the issues that we've run into is, you know, you take a loan from your 401k and you take a 5-year loan, but then all of a sudden, 2 years into your 5-year loan, your company downsizes you. Well, you have about 60 to 90 days to pay that loan back, or it defaults and you have to pay taxes on all that money. So you just don't want that to happen. So I just say normally you want to try to resist borrowing from your 401k, but I understand sometimes it can make sense. But try to resist it if you can, because there are some downfalls to taking out those 401k loans. Make sure you take advantage of your IRA options. If you're somebody that you qualify to put money into an IRA, that is an individual retirement account, or a Roth IRA, which is works a little bit different. Make sure you take advantage of your IRA options because again, it works very similar to your 401k. If you put money in a traditional IRA, you get to save money on your taxes right then. And then that money is taxable when you take it out when you retire. Or if you use a Roth IRA, you put the money in, you don't get a tax break today, but you get to take that money out tax-free in the future. So very important if you are somebody that you don't have the option, maybe at work, to use a 401k, make sure you talk to somebody and get a traditional or a Roth setup for you, okay? And it's so vitally important to know the difference between, you know, Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs or Roth 401ks or traditional 401ks. It is very important that you know that because you want to know the difference and how it's going to affect you, you know, when you're in retirement. You know, just in the last couple years, I have switched. I used to put all of my personal 401k money, I used to put it all in pre-tax because I like that tax break.
Yeah.
But recently, I made the decision personally to take some of that money and actually put it in a Roth. I don't get the tax break, but when I get to retirement, I'm going to have now a nest egg that part of it, you can take it out without paying tax on it. Part of it, you know, you got a tax break. Yes, you're going to pay tax on that money when you withdraw it. So the point in all of this is make sure you know the difference between Roth and pre-tax when it comes to your IRAs and also when it comes to your 401ks. Okay. And then the last thing I want to talk about when it comes to your retirement is you need to make sure that you allocate, diversify, and rebalance. Okay. So allocating is spreading your money between different asset classes. Okay. So that is making sure that you have some stocks, you have some bonds, you have some cash, maybe even some real estate in your investment portfolio, okay? So you want to allocate your money, you want to spread your money against different asset classes, okay? So different types of investments, okay? Then what you want to make sure of is you want to make sure that you diversify within those asset classes, okay? So you're going to put, let's say you're an investor and you're going to put, you know, 50% of your money in stocks, okay? Well, when you look at your 401k, you can invest in the stock market. You can invest in large company stocks, mid-sized company stocks, small company stocks, international stocks, okay? So you want to make sure your stock portfolio is diversified. You don't want all of your 401k money, all of that sitting in a small, you know, investment, you know, stock company fund. That's not what you want. Okay. You want to make sure that you're diversifying, that you've got some large companies, mid-size, small, international within your stock selection. Okay. And the same thing with bonds. You know, you can buy corporate bonds, you know, usually in your 401k, or you can buy, you know, U.S. treasuries, you know, those kind of things. Those kind of funds in your 401k. You want to make sure you diversify that. So you allocate stocks, bonds, cash, you diversify those, and then you need to make sure that every single year you rebalance, okay? This year, the stock market's been a pretty good year. So the stock market's is way up, and so maybe, you know, you were trying to have 60% of your portfolio in the stock market. Well, now maybe it's 70% because the stock market had a really good year, but the bond market didn't. And so maybe you need to reallocate, meaning selling 10% of your stock portfolio to get it down to 60 instead of 70. So continuing to rebalance that.
Excellent. Thank you for helping us. We could make that into two shows sometime if we really wanted to. Have a great weekend, everyone, and happy holidays.
Thank you for joining us for Smart Money Management. The opinions voiced on this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA. NRA, SIPC. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Alder for Bergen. Read and hear more about today's subject, find radio stations and showtimes, and see what other ways we might be able to serve you at alderforbergen.com. Join us again next time for Smart Money Management on Lake City Radio.